This is Press Play on KCRW. I'm Madeline Brand. If you have the time or the patience, you could take apart your broken vacuum cleaner or toaster to try to fix it. But for your computer or your cell phone, that can just be impossible, not only because they're so complicated, but because they often have locks installed. So you have to take your phone to, say, the Apple Store or buy a new one. Well, now you can get out your mini Allen wrench. As of yesterday, California has a new right to repair law. Minnesota, New York, and Colorado have enacted similar laws too, but California is notable because big tech is based right here. We're going to talk about this now with Sandra Goldmark, professor at Barnard College in New York and author of the book Fixation: How to Have Stuff Without Breaking the Planet. Welcome.
Hi, Madeline. Thank you.
Okay, so this seems like, why would we need a law to let us repair our own stuff? So why do we need a law to let us repair our own stuff?
It does seem counterintuitive, doesn't it? Many people don't think that the right to repair is a right that needs legislation or protection. But it is, unfortunately, because we've come to a place in this country, or we had come to a place where, largely speaking, many manufacturers, especially of electronics, were making it very hard for individuals or independent repair shops to actually fix their products.
Mm. So mainly, are we talking about phones?
A lot of the headlines about this right to repair legislation is about phones, because, of course, phones are such a big part of our lives. But it really, the movement really and the legislation really applies to more than just phones. It actually started with heavy farm equipment. And the current bill that was just signed in California extends to other kinds of home appliances and electronics as well.
Okay, so what does this mean? What do manufacturers have to change?
The basic heart of the legislation is that manufacturers have to provide parts, manuals, and instructions and software for 7 years after the production and sale of a device above $100, for 3 years for less than $100. So in plain language, that means they have to make it possible for their product to be fixed, and not just by the manufacturer. So they have to make the parts available and the instructions available.
How major is this in your mind? How big a deal is this?
It's funny, because again, when I say that, I feel like it doesn't sound like that big a deal. Okay, they have to make the parts available. Were they not before?
You're right.
And this is why, for me, it's a big deal. The answer is no. Let's look at the kind of poster child for some of this legislation, and an iPhone. Historically, if your iPhone broke, you could maybe bring it to a Genius Bar, but a lot of ways that the phone was designed made it very difficult either to repair yourself or for an independent repair shop to fix it. So if you couldn't get Apple to fix it, you were often out of luck and forced to buy a new phone. That is called planned obsolescence. And it has been very, very frustrating for users, for people, because it kind of flies in the face of common sense. This is a perfectly good object. It's got this one little thing broken. Why can't I fix it? So to me, the legislation is a big deal because it's naming something in our society and trying to correct it that is much bigger than a phone. And it has to do with this idea of all of the objects and the stuff that we make, the toll that it takes on the environment to make things that are single use or have a short lifespan, and the frustration and kind of anti-common senseness for individuals who say, wait a minute, I like my phone or my vacuum and I want to keep it. And so it is really exciting and a big deal nationwide, not just in California, to see people saying, hey, wait a minute, this is something that we, no pun intended, we can fix.
Okay, so Apple had initially opposed this, but then decided to embrace the legislation, or at least not oppose it. Do you know why they changed their minds?
I think, now I'm not, I'm inside the corporate boardroom at Apple, but I think it's a really exciting and important sign of a shift in Apple and other companies' understanding of sustainability and what it really means to make climate goals and to make sustainability goals. It used to be a little bit more in the language of, we're going to switch to renewable energy and put solar panels on the roof, or maybe reduce waste in packaging. But if your core business model is making and selling and extracting resources for more and more and more phones every year, it really doesn't matter how many solar panels or how much reduced packaging you do. So companies today, I think, are realizing they have to look at their core product. And that means designing things to have a long lifespan, designing things that can be fixed, designing things that are made responsibly in the first place. And so it's exciting. This is part of really looking at that core business model and getting serious about it.
Forgive me for being a little bit cynical, but I'm really wondering if there's a bottom line reason why they also decided to embrace this, because I would imagine that they wouldn't want to give up all those profits, those extra phones that they could sell without having a B plan in place.
I love that you said that, because I actually think I want Apple to make repair part of their business plan. I want them to make selling used phones a core part of their business model. I want to free the big corporations from the prison of always selling and making ever cheaper new stuff. So now I don't want them to take over all of the repair revenue. I want independent repairers and individuals to be able to repair their objects. But actually, I think in the long run, if we can make repair and reuse as much a part of our economy as the sale of new goods, I think that's a good thing and it's something that should happen.
Yeah. I don't know if you can answer this, but just anecdotally, I've noticed that when there are new versions of the operating system up and you have to, you know, renew that, it changes the phone, not necessarily in a good way. It makes it a little more kludgy, making you more prone to buy a new one if you have an old phone. Would this change that, or is that a separate issue altogether?
I think, sadly, I'm not totally sure because I'm not an expert on all the ins and outs of the bill, but I think it's unfortunately a separate issue. There have been a lot of studies about that very thing, and there has been evidence showing that, yes, you are not imagining things.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Sometimes you feel a little crazy when you look at your phone and you're like, really? Is it just me? Did I not have
a phone? I feel like my phone is gaslighting me.
Right. I don't think it is. But I think that's a little bit the next step down the road of really, if we're really going to begin designing for longevity, that can no longer be part of the equation. But the right to repair bill is really more focusing on the parts and the manual. So it's a good first step there.
Yeah. And so do you think that people will actually want to then get out their tools and repair their phones or whatever products? Or will they be so used to saying, oh, forget it, I can't do this, I'll just buy a new one?
I think it both will happen. And I think there's a middle option, which I'm really excited about, which this bill and legislation like this makes it easier for independent repair shop owners to provide that service. So I ran short-term repair shops all over New York City for 7 years, from 2013 to 2020. And we fixed all kinds of stuff. Phones, we actually stopped fixing phones because they made us insane. But like vacuums, lamps, appliances, all kinds of products that are affected by this bill. And we were able to fix 85% of the stuff we got. And great. Of what we called our repair fails, 70% of those fails were because either of we couldn't get the parts or we couldn't get the manual.
All right, we'll have to end it there. Sandra Goldmark, professor at Barnard College and author of the book Fixation, How to Have Stuff Without Breaking the Planet. I'm Madeline Brand. That's it for the show. I'll see you tomorrow.